You have your Bibles, open them to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, anyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Well, last week, we concluded chapter 11 of the book of Daniel. And in chapter 11, we saw a long line of oppressors who would persecute and abuse and slaughter Israel, the people of God, over a period of 1,000 years. And, you know, last week we talked about pronouns. As I work through this, I find myself struggling sometimes, you know, with the tense, because to Daniel, most of this was prophecy that we've seen already, but to us, it's history. And so sometimes I may use one tense one time and another tense a different time. And so, you know, forgive me if I kind of jump back and forth there, but that's why. Well, did those things that we saw in chapter 11, did that surprise God? And of course, the answer is no. As a matter of fact, it was all designed by God for a specific purpose. And that purpose, we saw, was to test them and to purge them and to make them white, the Bible says. In other words, God will keep chastening them until they finally respond properly. Well, that's kind of a bleak message, isn't it? I mean, for God to say to Daniel, as his final words to Daniel, you know, Daniel, it's just going to get, you know, it's just going to be like this for thousands of years. It's just going to be bad for a long time. And then to leave it at that with no light at the end of the tunnel, it would be a little bleak. But God didn't do that. And so in the first three verses of chapter 12, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. The hope that even though it's going to be dark for a long, long time, and even though the people of Israel will not respond to God for most of that time, and even though the time is going to come when they will actually reject their own Messiah and in his place will accept Satan's counterfeit, the Antichrist, even so, in the end, there is hope. Now, look at the beginning of chapter 12 and verse 1. It starts by saying, at that time. Now, what time is he talking about? Well, the time that he's been discussing. Well, what time is that? Well, Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45, he was discussing the time of the Antichrist, the consummate oppressor of Israel, the one who would bring the greatest pain, the one who would slaughter the most Jews. He will slaughter more even than Hitler did, and that will take some doing. But even at that time, at that exact time, at that time when everything seemingly is at its most bleak, at its most hopeless point, in the middle of the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, when there is this great world ruler, when there is this massive warfare that ends in the bloodbath of Armageddon, at that very time when the Antichrist attempts to slaughter all of Israel, when he desecrates the temple, at that time, God tells Daniel, hope will dawn. And that's the message as chapter 12 opens. It's the time of ascendancy for the the Antichrist, a time of the dominion of the willful king, the time that the Antichrist rises to his zenith, the time when he fights against the north and he fights against the south and fights against the armies of the kings of the east, the time when he wins great victories, and the time when he establishes his power over the earth, the time when he commits his abominable deed in the temple, the time when he asserts himself to be God and demands that the world worships him, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the time of Armageddon. It's during that time that the angel says to Daniel, there is cause for your people to have hope. Now, that's a great message for the ears of Daniel, who has been hearing all of these other things going on. It's the worst of times before the best of times. It's the darkness just before the dawn. As Adrian Rogers used to say, praise God, it's getting gloriously dark. And that's kind of the picture here. Well, you know, as you look at this, how and why at that time can men have hope? Well, there are several reasons, and I want to share them with you over the next few weeks as we conclude this book of Daniel. But the first thing that I want to point out to you tonight is that the angel, first of all, reminds Daniel that the darkness will come. And I know we've looked at this. It's come up over and over again in these passages. And I know that you're probably, you know, ready to get finished with that, and I am too. And yet at the same time, God gives room to that which is important to him. And obviously, he has reasons why he wants us to learn this, to see this, to come to grips with this. And frankly, as I shared with you last week, I've learned a great deal myself through the course of this study. And so I want to be faithful to the text and deal with what's before us. And so let's talk about this again. First of all, the angel tells Daniel that darkness will come. Look back there in verse 1 again. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. The angel says to Daniel, there is coming a time like no other. It's been bad before, but you've never seen anything like this. Israel has suffered greatly in the past. They suffered from the Babylonians. They suffered from the Medo-Persians. They suffered from the Greeks. They suffered from the Romans. They've suffered continually under the Gentile rule ever since the Roman time, from the Crusaders and from Hitler, and they still suffer. And all of that, though, has been the rod of God. All of it has been the refining process of God for their rebellion and rejection, and all of it has been meant to draw them to him. But the worst suffering is yet to come. Why? Well, because they have yet to respond. There will be a time of trouble, the Bible says. This angel says, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Now, that's a Hebrew idiom. It means that this is going to be the worst ever. It's pretty easy to figure out. The worst is yet to come for them. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But not only did this angel tell this to Daniel, not only did Daniel write this, but I want you to see that Jesus echoed this. He says, as a matter of fact, he said the very same thing. Turn over in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and he introduces this in verses 7 and 8. And it says there in Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 8, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Now, Drop down to verse 15 and look at verses 15 through 21 with me. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in the winter or in a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever will be. And so you see there that Jesus says exactly the same thing that the angel told Daniel. Jesus said, when you see the Antichrist desecrate the temple, when you see him establish himself as God, when you see him call all men to worship him, when you see all of these things happen, what does he say to do? Run. Now, he's talking to the disciples here, and he's specifically talking to Israel. He's talking to the nation of Israel. Of course, if you could run, it would be good advice for everybody. But there's going to be a place provided for Israel, and this is really directed to those Jews. When you see all of this happen, run. Don't even go inside to get anything. Just run. If you're out in the field, don't go back to get your clothes. It's going to be hard to run when you have little children and nursing infants. He says there, pray that it'll not be in winter on the Sabbath day when these things happen. In the winter because of the difficulty, obviously, of the weather. On the Sabbath because some would hesitate to make such a journey on the Sabbath. Now, why is that? Why are they to run? Well, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And except the days were shortened, he says, there would be no flesh saved. Jesus said the same thing that Daniel said. There's coming an unprecedented time of trouble for the people of God, Israel. Worse than anything that's ever happened, including World War II and the wicked and brutal treatment that resulted in the death of 6 million Jews and the suffering of multiplied millions more. As early in the Bible, and it's be interesting, an interesting study for you sometime, to go back in the Bible and as you read through the Bible, and I do this just about every time I read through the Bible, I think I find something that I want to search for, something that I want to see the references, all the references that I can find on my own as I read through there. And one of those I've done is the millennium. And you wouldn't believe just the passage after passage after passage in the Bible and the Old Testament referring to the coming millennial kingdom. And then also of the tribulation. There are many references to the tribulation in the Old Testament. And so just a couple of things there for you to look for. I've gone through, read through the Bible and tried to mark every passage I could find that dealt with election or the sovereignty of God. Just kind of an interesting way to keep fresh as you're reading through the scripture. It was as early as Deuteronomy chapter 4, the first set of inspired books that were ever written by Moses. It was foretold that in the latter days, the children of Israel would be in tribulation. Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you want to turn over there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning with verse 27. Let me read this to you because this is the first reference in the Bible to the coming tribulation. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples. Well, there's the diaspora, the scattering of the Jews that started with in 605 BC with the Babylonian deportation. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. Now, there's a lot in that passage. We can just stop there and preach from that passage for the rest of the day. You have the tribulation. You have the restoration of Israel. You have the fact that God is not going to reject Israel forever, that he's not going to break the covenant he made with their fathers with them. Just saturated with information there that's important. We saw in our study of the book of Revelation a description of that final time in human history that's really almost beyond our imagination and almost beyond John's ability to put it into words. We talked about how difficult that was for John, a first century prophet, to try to put the things that he saw into words that would be understandable to the people who read his book. But remember that Revelation chapter 6 through 19 gives the details of that period, Daniel's 70 weeks, and part of it is of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And the Apostle John sees in the vision there a time of war and disease and famine in which 25% of the population of the world will be killed. The collapse of the heavenly bodies, 1/3 of the earth destroyed, 1/3 of the sea destroyed, the creatures in the sea and the ships on it destroyed, 1/3 of the fresh water contaminated, and many multitudes of people who drink it die, 1/3 of the stars are extinguished, the release of demons to overrun the earth, sores covering the bodies of people, everything in the sea and all living creatures in the sea are killed, murder, starvation, thievery, moral depravity and wickedness beyond anything that's ever been known. All fresh water will be polluted. Scorching sunlight that burns people to death. Darkness that covers the earth. Pain, debilitating fear. More sores, more demons. And it just goes on like that for 14 chapters. And in addition to what comes upon the earth in general, you have God allowing the Antichrist to oppress Israel in a final act of purging, which God allows as evil finally reaches its apex. The whole course of the world and all of its history is charted in Scripture and is moving toward this global Holocaust with the significant emphasis upon the nation of Israel. Lou and I talked about this a little bit this morning. You know, as long as I can remember, the focus of the world has been on the Middle East. The focus of the world has been on Israel. Why is that? Well, you understand this, that the Bible, all of Scripture, is moving toward that time. Look in Zechariah chapter 12 for just a minute. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Zechariah 12, 2 and 3 says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people." It's pretty much become that today, hasn't it? Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning with verse 4. The Bible says, "These are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. Thus says the Lord, we have heard a cry of panic, of terror, and no peace. Ask now and see, can a man bear a child? Why then do I see every man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Why has every face turned pale? Alas, that day is so great, there is none like it." There's another passage that says the same thing. It's a time of distress for Jacob. Your translation may say Jacob's trouble. "Yet he shall be saved out of." Now there's something significant again. "Yet he shall be," who shall be saved out of? Israel. Israel, the nation of Israel. Look in Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9. "In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 shall be cut off and perish, and 1/3 shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. And they will call upon my name and I will answer them and I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. There will come a slaughter in which 2 out of 3 Jews will die. But the other third, and that's Daniel's emphasis here, but the other third will be redeemed. They will be purged. They will believe. You know, the global Jewish population of the world, as we speak, is approximately 15 million. It's just now regaining its pre-Holocaust numbers. It's about the same now as it was before World War II. Out of 7 billion people globally, there are about 15 million Jews. What all this means is that if it were to start today, 10 million Jews would die. If the tribulation began today, 10 million Jews would die. So there waits for Israel a very grievous distress, a distress that is without equal in human history. The time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, that time of the tribulation. And all of these terms are used to describe this period. But here comes the hope. In the midst of this time of distress comes a special defender. Look back to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. The nation will not be utterly destroyed, because Michael, the Bible says, will stand up. Now, let's talk about that for a little bit. Who is Michael? Well, Michael is perhaps the most powerful of all of the angelic beings, and he has been given throughout all of Israel's history the singular responsibility of defending the people of God. We've already seen back in chapter 10 that when the demons tried to stop the angel from giving this revelation to Daniel, verse 13, the angel said, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And then in verse 21, he said, in all of this, there is none that works with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. God has assigned this great angel, Michael, the special task of watching over and caring for the nation Israel. And we see that not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament as well. Turn over in your Bibles in the New Testament to the book of Jude. Jude, and look with me, there's only one chapter, so Jude verse 9. And it's interesting, we find there Michael fighting Satan, the Bible says, over the body of Moses. Jude verse 9. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, what's that all about? Well, Moses died on Mount Nebo in Moab without having entered the promised land, and he was secretly buried in an unknown place. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 34. This confrontation that is described in Jude verse 9 probably took place as Michael buried Moses in order to prevent Satan from using his body for some diabolical purpose. Satan may have wanted to use it as an idol or as an object of false worship for drawing Israel away from the true worship of Jehovah. And so God sent Michael to be certain that the body of Moses was buried. And the point of this, as it relates to our study, is that Michael has such care and concern for Israel that he would not even permit the desecration of their dead bodies. And so when they get into the heat of this time of distress, it's not surprising to see Michael appear on the scene. When the battle gets to the hottest, when the most furious persecution and oppression takes place, Michael comes to the rescue. Now, in what way does Michael stand up for the people of God? Well, during the tribulation, Satan wants to release all of the forces of hell against the people of God, Israel. And he wants to annihilate the nation. And I'm not talking about the church here. I'm talking about Israel. He wants to obliterate Israel. He's always wanted to do that. We've talked about that before. He wanted to wipe out the people of God, and he tried several times in the Old Testament. He tried in Genesis chapter 6 with the sons of God and the daughters of men. He tried with Esther there in Persia and other times, and he wanted to wipe out the people of God so that the Messiah could never be born. And then when Christ was finally born, he got Herod to try to destroy the child by killing all the children that age. And all through his life, you remember, as you read through the Gospels, Satan tried to kill him, but always without success. And now that he's resurrected and ascended into heaven, the devil wants to destroy Israel so that God can't fulfill his covenant with them in the kingdom. He wants to eliminate them all so that God is frustrated in his mission for the people of Israel. And so all of the demons of hell in the end time are going to go after Israel. And when that happens, the Bible says that Michael stands up to defend the people of God. And here's what he does. Look there in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, we read some of this last week, but go back over there in Revelation chapter 12 with me and look beginning in verse 7. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, we see Michael here. Now war arose, where? In heaven. War arose in the heavens. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And so Satan does everything in his power to try to exterminate the Jews. But a place of protection, you remember we talked about that last week, a place of protection is provided for them, and so they flee to it. And we saw that in Daniel 11 and Revelation chapter 12. And Michael leads the angels in heaven against the devil and his minions. And when this demonic army goes out to try to destroy this Jewish remnant, this one-third that is left there at the end of the tribulation, that second half of the tribulation, when this army goes out to try to destroy this Jewish remnant, the ground just opens up and swallows them up. And Michael seems to be in charge of this whole operation, and he defeats the forces of hell. And he is, because he is the special defender appointed by God, and they are protected for 3.5 years. Okay, now, go back to Daniel chapter 1. And I want you to notice what the text says next. Daniel chapter 12, rather, verse 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Now, people have asked the question, well, you know, who is going to be saved? I have people ask me that because they say, well, you know, when you're talking about Israel, I mean, who really is, who's this talking about? Who's going to be saved? And they say, well, you know, why would God save Israel? They've rejected him. Israel's not following God. They're not obeying him. They barely even acknowledge God. That's right, but as we've already seen clearly, God hasn't rejected them. permanently at least. Yes, God made a new covenant which encompasses the church, but he didn't abandon his original covenant. We saw his promise not to do that, both in the Old Testament, we've seen it in the New Testament. He temporarily set Israel aside while he gathers a church primarily from among the Gentiles, while there are some Jews being saved, not many. But over and over again, he promises that he will deliver Israel, that he will save Israel, that he will restore Israel. Keep a finger there in Daniel chapter 12 and look back in Romans chapter 11 for just a minute. Not Revelation this time, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I want to show you this in Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. And there's more I could read here, but I just will, for the sake of time, stop with these. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Now, I want you to notice the next statement, that blindness in what? In part, has happened to Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And what's the very next statement? And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. I mean, how much clearer can it get? This is not some obscure prophecy in the Old Testament about the nation of Israel. This is divine revelation given to the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And Paul says that the blindness that has come upon Israel, the hardness of hearts of the Jews, is only temporary. Until when? Until God has formed his bride, the church, primarily from among Gentiles. But when that is completed, what does he say there in verse 6? All Israel will be saved. God will turn away ungodliness, the Bible says, from Jacob. Yes, Israel is ungodly, but the Bible says that in the last days, God will turn ungodliness away from Jacob. And Jacob is a term that is always used. Listen, Jacob is a term that is always used of the biological descendants of Abraham. It's not talking about the church. It's not some mystical spiritual Israel. It is a reference to the Jews. All Israel shall be saved. Now, here's the next question. And that question is, who is all Israel? Well, I just told you, but you don't have to take my word for it. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Ezekiel for just a minute. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, and Ezekiel deals with this specifically. Ezekiel chapter 20, and look with me in verse 33. Ezekiel, beginning with verse 33. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning with verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord, surely with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out from the countries in which you are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. In other words, God says, I'm going to bring Israel back after they've been scattered throughout the world. Now look what he says, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there will I enter into judgment with you face to face, as I entered the judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I enter into judgment with you, saith the Lord, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Passing under the rod was a shepherd's axiom, saying, as the sheep would pass under the rod, the shepherd would then drop the rod to stop the next sheep so that he could examine it. And so God is saying to the nation of Israel, I'm going to bring you under the rod. I am going to examine you. And then he goes on to say, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, listen, who's this talking about? Who is the all Israel that will be saved? Well, in the end time, first during the testing period, the tribulation, the apostates and the rebels that he addresses here, the apostates and the rebels will be purged out from Israel, and only those who remain will be protected. As we've already seen in Zechariah 13:8, it says that two-thirds will die. That leaves one-third purged as the remnant, and that one-third purged then becomes the duly constituted nation. They are the all Israel. They are the Israel that's promised redemption, the godly remnant, that one-third that is left. They will be the all Israel. So when the angel says to Daniel, "Thy people shall be delivered," the angel's not making a blanket statement that every Jew alive on the earth right now, or even at the time that the tribulation begins, is going to be saved. It means the one-third that will be protected because they acknowledge, why are they protected? Because they acknowledge Christ as Messiah. Because they accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Look at the end of Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Look what it says. Who will be delivered? Look what it says. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life. Now, what's the context? Everybody who's written in the book is going to be saved. Well, that's true, but what's the context here? Who's the angel talking about? Well, he's talking about Daniel's people, thy people. All right? He's talking about the people of Israel. This promise of deliverance and the promise of salvation is for those Jews who believe during this time. The delivered one-third of believing, redeemed Jews who come through the tribulation. In Malachi, and you don't have to turn there, Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, in chapters 3 and 4, and you can go read this later. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought on his name, and they shall be mine, says the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. For behold, the day comes, and it shall burn like an oven, and all the proud and the wicked shall be stubble. The day comes, it shall burn them up. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." In other words, there will be a distinction between those Jews who believe and those who do not. There will be a special deliverance. There will be a purging out of the rebels, and two out of every three Jews will die. But that one-third, the remaining redeemed remnant, will constitute the nation of Israel, and so all Israel will be redeemed.